This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Brad Powers, professional college football bettor, will join us. We will go over the four college football games this weekend. What a weekend it is. The game Friday night, three games on Saturday, the bowl games, the NFL games. My goodness, what a week of sports it is. So excited for all these games, excited to talk about them, excited to talk to Brad. We'll see what he thinks. I'll get you my picks on the college games, a thought or two on the NFL games with some picks. But I will start with the Thursday night game and strange game. I feel like I've said this a few times about these Thursday night games. Last week, Thursday, was the 12-6 Rams beat the 49ers, and it was an odd game. And this game, I didn't give it out on this show, but I liked the under coming in by the time the game kicked off. And the under was dead right away. I mean, the Chargers did go 3-and-out, but after that, I mean, these teams traded scores. The Broncos looked like they were going to score 40 or 50 points. I think they scored touchdowns on their first three drives, and the offense just completely fizzles out afterwards. And there's some ramifications from this game. First of all, I think Peyton did a terrible job in this game in a couple different aspects. First of all, his guys were just, you know, uncovered left and right, some penalties, but just strategically, end of the first half, they're up 11, they're dominating the game. They get the ball to start the third quarter, so they're in complete control, and they get the ball back with, you know, 30 seconds left. And then, hey, they're going to be conservative. They're going to run the ball and get out of there, except they run the ball on first down. Okay, you made up your mind. You're going to go to the half. I completely agree. Second down, you throw it. It's incomplete. Now, all of a sudden, you can't run out the clock. They run it. They run it again. Chargers call a timeout. 8 seconds left. Makes the Broncos have to punt, which, okay, you punt. There's only 8 seconds. What's the big deal? Maybe there's a block or you get a return, but chances are that's not going to happen. They rough the returner, kick catch interference. It sets up the weird free kick situation where Dicker can line up without anyone rushing him and boot it from like 65 yards. He drills the kick, and I think anybody who's watched Dicker kick, perfect conditions, no rush, thinking, you know what, he's probably going to make this kick. He did, and I don't say the game turned on that, but that was a big, big play in the game and just completely needless from Denver's standpoint. And I'll pull up the play-by-play here. Yeah, Denver takes over first and 18 on their own 41-yard line. They run it. They pass it for 3 yards. They go incomplete. Then they run it for a yard. So that incompletion gives them, combined with the penalty, gives the Chargers a free 3 points. The offense completely stalls in the second half. And another bad job by Peyton. Fourth and five, they're losing at this point. And he almost never saw the ball back. There's 6 minutes to go in the game. He's got fourth and five from midfield. First of all, he ran the ball on second and 20, which is just insane. But fourth and five from midfield, he punts. And okay, they down the Chargers, and they pin them at their 10, except the Chargers, third and 10, Herbert scrambles, first down, a couple of chunk plays, and the Chargers actually get in, score the touchdown, cover. Look like they were actually going to cover teasers, if not for the Broncos kicking a last minute field goal to get the margin at 7, which would have been a devastating beat for Broncos teasers backers. Bad beat if you had the +3, because the Broncos are winning the game and winning comfortably, you know, for a lot of the game, and to not cover the 3 and not at least get a push there, man. You know, in that situation where the Chargers up 3 with the ball, you know, 5 minutes to go in that sort of field position, you're about to get the ball back, first of all. And if nothing else, figure the Chargers, okay, they get 3 or 4 first downs and they milk the clock and they run it out and it lands on 3, you get a push. So to not even cover for Denver is a rough one, but Peyton, I thought, did a really bad job. Now, will that be held against him in Coach of the Year? I think it should be. Will it be? I don't know, but there's a bigger question in play here now. And look, I didn't bet this. I wish I did. Denver was +650. I saw +750 at BetMGM before today's games. And obviously that number is going to move to miss the playoffs. And you say, oh, that's crazy. They got to lose all their games. Cincy's got to win all their games. Here's the problem. They play at Cincy next week, and Cincy's got pretty much a layup at home versus Cleveland this week. And then week 18, the Broncos need play the Chiefs. Maybe the Chiefs don't need the game, but maybe they do. And Cincy plays Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, but maybe Pittsburgh needs the game. Maybe they don't. So with how in control you've been, if you're Denver, you do not want this to come down to week 18, which it very, very well could. I think Cincy is going to beat Denver next week in Cincinnati. I just don't think Denver. Look, Peyton's done a good job. They've overachieved. Nobody thought this team was going to the playoffs, but they're not that good of a team. They're a solid team. They've got some players. They're certainly a limited team. I think would be a fair way to put it. Again, better than we thought, but look, Cincy in Cincy, I'm going to take the Bengals. I think the Bengals will be favored in that game by, I don't know, 3 or 4 points, maybe. I'm sure that line will be up, pretty shortly here. But the bottom line, the Broncos are not out of the woods yet. They are no lock to make the playoffs. My guess is when the odds reopen Friday morning, odds will be, plus 300 to miss, plus 250 to miss. They're still a favorite to make it, but they are no guarantee to make it. And my goodness, if Jonathan Taylor does not drop the ball crossing the goal line, the Colts probably beat him, and Denver's probably looking at an uphill battle to make the playoffs. So they're either going to miss the playoffs or only make the playoffs because Taylor last week was stupid enough to drop the ball for the Colts going in. That would have put the Colts up 20-7 with the way Knicks was playing. I don't think they were coming back from 20-7. So, man, that play could swing a playoff spot, as crazy as that sounds. But Cincy not dead and Denver not out of the woods, and unless you're a Denver fan, look, let's all be honest. Cincy in the playoffs would make for much more exciting football. Now, I know their defense stinks, but putting Burrow in the playoffs with Chase would just make for more of an exciting field, make for a deeper field than having Denver in. I don't know what to make of the Chargers. Gutty win. Herbert was incredible in the second half. He doesn't have a lot of weapons. His defense was horrible in the first half. I still don't look at them. I think they're too limited to actually be a threat in the playoffs. But, hey, good coach, good quarterback. I think they're probably a year away, maybe 2 years away from, hey, getting more pieces on defense, getting more weapons, and being a real threat to compete with Kansas City year in, year out. And I made this comparison before. It's similar to Harbaugh when he took over Michigan, how he couldn't catch Ohio State. And he get a little closer, Then by the end, he caught Ohio State and he went past them. Wouldn't be shocked. Mahomes is great. We all know how great Mahomes is, but I wouldn't be shocked if at some point the Chargers with Herbert caught the Chiefs and he just filled out that roster and with his coaching ability elevated that team to, the same level as the Chiefs. I think he's that good of a coach. I think Herbert's incredibly talented and he was brilliant in the second half, running throws, made every play he needed to make. He was just outstanding was Herbert. So that's the NFL. We'll get to the picks here. I'll just get to the picks now before we get to Brad. NFL picks for the week. My favorite pick, I like the Ravens laying the 6.5 against the Steelers. I know you're going to hear all of the trends about how the Steelers-Ravens games, they're always close. They're always field goal games. They're always low scoring, and I don't mind the under in that game. I think that's actually keeping this line down. It's depressing this line because this line should probably be touchdown or more. Pittsburgh has no Pickens at receiver. They just had no offense last week against Philly. And I think Baltimore is rested. They had a bye 2 weeks ago, and they basically had a mini bye last week against the Giants where they could just, take their foot off the gas, rest their starters, not have to break a sweat and pummeling the lowly Giants. So I think Lamar and the Ravens, they've heard how they can't beat Pittsburgh. They can't beat these good teams. Well, I think they're going to beat them on Saturday. I think they win this game, and I think they win it comfortably. I know I'm bucking the trend here, and I know I'm always more down on the Steelers than I probably should be, but that was not impressive last week from Pittsburgh, and I think Baltimore wins and wins the game, 27-17, 27-13, which I think was the score last week, the Pittsburgh-Philly game. So I think Baltimore finally, I don't say gets over the hump because winning this game is not going to – doesn't guarantee anything. Doesn't even guarantee a division. You're still going to have some work to do, but I think Baltimore does win this game with enough margin. And I will go against the trend. I will lay it with Baltimore. Two more. I will take the Bears plus the 6.5 against Detroit. It's Goff outdoors. They've played well against Detroit. They could have easily beaten them on Thanksgiving. Now you could say, hey, Detroit could have been up 31-0 at the half. They could have been, but Detroit was sitting there with the ball at the 20-yard line, about to beat the Lions if they didn't screw it up. And they should have beaten them twice last year. They won 28-13 in Chicago, and they were up 12 with 3 or 4 minutes to go in the game in Detroit before Detroit came back and won the game, I think, by a point in a late rally. So Detroit has struggled with Chicago. Goff has struggled outdoors. I'll take Chicago plus the points, and I will take Seattle plus 3 against Minnesota. Good story, Minnesota, 12-2, win total of 6.5. But this is kind of uncharted territory for them, too, where, hey, nice little story. All of a sudden, you're 3 wins away from being the one seed. You're starting to hear those whispers. Seattle has been a house of horrors for that team, for that franchise for years. Geno Smith sounds like he's going to play. I still think Minnesota has some flaws defensively, so I will take Seattle plus the 3. So Ravens minus 6.5, the Bears plus 6.5, and Seattle plus the 3 are the NFL picks. And we'll see what Brad thinks about the college picks, but I'll just give you my thoughts. I've talked about a lot of these games, and at first glance, it was dog or pass with all these games. I've gotten off that a little bit. I still lean towards Indiana. I like the under, I think, more than anything at 52. I just think Indiana's run defense is for real. Indiana has struggled sustaining offense when they've gone up in competition. The two games where they had to play sort of real teams, Michigan and Ohio State, Indiana did not do much. But I will pick Indiana to cover. I'll take the under, and what the hell, I'll take Indiana to win. I'm partially because I'm rooting for them. It'd be a fun story. But I do think they're really good. I think the quarterback's good. The coach is good. I think their defense is legitimate. And Notre Dame, can you make them play third and long? Can you make them play with some pressure on the scoreboard? Neither team has played a tough schedule, so I think there's a lot of similarities between these two teams. I am so looking forward to this game. Friday night, South Bend, maybe some snow flurries. I think having these games on the college campus gives a lot of atmosphere to this game. So I will pick the upset here, Indiana. I'll call it 23-20. SMU Penn State, I can't get behind the dog anymore. I've liked this SMU team all year, but they have not really played a lot of good teams. The one decent defense they played was BYU. BYU shut them down. And Penn State ran for 300 yards on Oregon. If Penn State can run for 300 yards on Oregon, they're going to gash SMU, who's a much smaller team than Oregon in the front seven. Just not as good as Oregon in the front seven. And look, you could say Franklin doesn't win big games. It's more like Franklin just doesn't win games he's not supposed to win. Franklin wins the games he's supposed to win, and this is a game Franklin's supposed to win. So when he steps up in competition and plays the top five teams, plays the Ohio States or the Michigan last year when they're good, he doesn't win, but he beats the teams he's supposed to beat. He takes care of business, which is why, you know, he still has a job. He beats the teams he's supposed to. He wins the games he's supposed to. And I think he will do that here. I like Penn State, if anything. I didn't bet it, but if I had to, I think Penn State wins the game. Clemson, Texas, I can't lay 12 with Ewers. I just can't. Clemson team total under 19.5 might be a good way to go the more I look at it, because Clemson in the three losses scored 3 points against Georgia. They scored 14 against South Carolina, and they had 7 points against Louisville at home with 6 minutes to go in the game. They eventually got to 21 in garbage time. Those last two touchdowns were cosmetic. So they have struggled, and Louisville's not even a good defense. Georgia's obviously good, and you know, South Carolina is good, but you know, Texas is a legitimate defense. They're on the road. Is Clemson really going to score 3 touchdowns? I'm not sure. Again, I'm not dying to lay it with Texas. We'll see what Brad thinks here in a minute, but Clemson team total under will be a way I would go. And then Tennessee, Ohio State. I know the whole world's on Tennessee, and I'm worried I'm walking into a trap here. I'll take the 7.5 plus Tennessee. I just can't get over the defensive line for Tennessee versus the offensive line for Ohio State. I know Ohio State's got the defense. They've got the receivers, but look, the Ohio State defense, as highly touted as they are, they couldn't get off the field against Michigan in that game, which they kind of get a pass for. I don't trust Day as a coach. I think his teams are tightly wound. I think he's tightly wound. I think Iamaliava, the Tennessee quarterback, has actually played better the second half of the season. I mean, he's been a complete, utter disappointment the entire season, the body of work. But the last three or four games, a little bit better. I think Tennessee can come in, and this is going to be a close, low-scoring game. I'm not opposed to an under here either, although you know, you missed the best of the number at, I think it's, what are we looking at, some 45.5, some 46. Bear was on here, I think, the day of the selection when it was 47.5 and gave out the under. That was a good call, and you're going through some key numbers there. So never like giving out the worst of the number. But similar to Notre Dame, Indiana, I think somebody wins this game 23-20. What the hell? I'll go with the upset here. I'll call Tennessee to win the game too. So I'll take Tennessee plus the points. So I'll call for two upsets. Hopefully we get a couple upsets, a little drama here. I know the college football playoff, at least with the four teams, we have not seen a lot of upsets. It's really been a lot of chalk. It's been a lot of blowouts, but you know, what have we talked about all year in college football? Parity. There's no great team. There's no great teams. It's a lot of balance. So maybe that balance shows itself this weekend, and we get some competitive games, we get some upsets. You know, if you have no dog in the fight, I'm sure you're rooting for upsets, you're rooting for close games. That's the whole point of adding these extra teams in the playoffs. It's not to just have, you know, four blowouts and have all the chalk win. It's hopefully we get a little drama, get some underdog teams onto the next round, and get some an Indiana Georgia matchup would be fun. Getting Tennessee onto the next round would be fun. I think hopefully we'll see some good games, and I think the games will be good. I don't think I was talking about this the other day with Mitch. I think, man, they're loading a lot on Saturday. You have three college games and two NFL games. It's putting all the food on the table at once. The entrees, the appetizers, the dessert. You just kind of want to space things out and pace things a little bit better. But not going to complain. It's still going to be it is a great day of football, man. I wish they'd give us a few more bowl games during the day this past few days, because usually, like the week before Christmas, usually when the bowl games start, you get Monday afternoon, Tuesday afternoon, you get afternoon bowl games. We haven't had that. We finally get a couple on Friday, the lousy games, but Ohio is in action on these Friday games. So you finally get some day bowl games. But then, once you get started on Friday night with Notre Dame, Indiana, it starts early Saturday, noon, Penn State, SMU, and then it just rolls all night. The two NFL games sprinkled in. So it is a great, weekend, 3-4 days here of football with Saturday, man. It's a tough day to make plans, because you're going to be missing something. There are so many great games in the Thursday and any Friday bowl games. By the way, Ohio laying 6 to Jacksonville, Tulane in Florida, and Florida is a 12-point favorite, total of 49.5. So nothing for me in those games. We'll see what Brad Powers thinks about the bowl games, the college football playoff games. That is next. This should have been more podcast. All right, we are back. Should have been more podcast. A huge weekend of college football, and there is nobody better to break it down and help us than our next guest. It is the great Brad Powers. You can catch him Hit the Books podcast, Bet the Board covers, among other places. Brad, hell of a weekend ahead of us. Are you excited for these games?
Yeah, I am. And obviously, it's new. It's something we haven't seen as far as the expanded college football playoff. And the thing that I'm most excited about is the fact that we get to see these games played at the college stadium. So I think that's what separates college football from a lot of the other sports, is the tradition and pageantry on college campuses. And I'm glad. In fact, I think I'm going to like it so much that I would prefer the first two rounds, not only this round, but the next round, be on college campuses.
I'm totally with you. It adds to the atmosphere, especially, and this is the game I'm most excited about. And this is the game we'll start with. Indiana, Notre Dame. There are some 7.5s, total 52.5, which does seem a little high. Just, man, you might get some weather. The fact you get a Friday night game in South Bend, I mean, it just doesn't get any better than this. For me, the key to this game, can Indiana put some pressure on Notre Dame in terms of A, the scoreboard, where Notre Dame hasn't been trailing a lot, and B, the down and distance, where, hey, put Riley Leonard in third and long, where he hasn't been a lot this year, where they've just dominated in terms of the ground game. Obviously, you have concerns. Can Indiana score? Can they move the ball? But I look for a lower scoring game. I like the under more than anything. I do think Indiana hangs around. What are you looking for in this game?
Yeah, well, I think you broke it down as far as the Indiana defensive game plan. I think they're going to put as many guys in the box. Notre Dame's wide receivers wouldn't scare me. I think Indiana's got enough corners that to shut them down. Let's just see mano a mano who can, win that battle. Indiana's got the number one rush defense in the country, so I'm guessing they're going to feel confident. I will say they have not faced anyone near as strong as Notre Dame's rush offense. I know Ohio State's talented, but they were banged up on the offensive line, so that'll be the battle on that side of the ball. I think Notre Dame counters with the tight end Mitchell Evans. I like his player props over. As far as the side and total in the game, you know what? I think I'm on an island. I played a little over
Okay.
here. I wouldn't recommend it now because it's moved up a couple of points. But thinking was, I think Indiana's rush defense is overrated because they haven't faced really anybody that can run consistently. And I think Notre Dame's pass defense is overrated because they haven't really faced anybody. You looked at what USC did to that pass defense. So I think you combine the two factors, I was more leaning towards the over. Combine the two because I kind of have a slight lean on Indiana team total over for me.
Our mutual buddy Fez, good old Blue Horseshoe, likes to play these no score first 5 minutes. You ever get involved in these props?
Sometimes, yeah, definitely in the Super Bowl when it's more widely available, you can get down more. But yeah, he does in these types of games. I could see it. I will say Notre Dame's defense traditionally gives up an early score though, so on an opposing opponent's first possession. So be careful there.
You think this line closes more 7.5s than sevens? Do you have a lean on the side?
Yeah, good question. I think it's more likely to close at 7 than 7.5.
Okay.
I've heard enough whispers that the Indiana's a side, particularly at 7.5.
How about SMU Penn State? Now, my first lean on all these games was dog or pass. I can't get there with SMU, and I had SMU to win the ACC, which is still a bitter pill to swallow.
What, like 20, 25 to 1?
No, I didn't even get a good number, 18 to 1, which was still, I mean,
That's still good.
still decent. And I mean, that kickoff, the tackle afterwards, just hold all the receivers. Oh man, just reliving that game is painful. But I can't get there with SMU. First of all, the concerns with the schedule, another team that is really stepping up in class. And you just look at what Penn State did against Oregon: 300 yards rushing, 7 yards per play. James Franklin, you could say he never wins a big game, but James Franklin usually wins the games he's supposed to win. This is a game he's supposed to win. Do you have a feel for this game? -954 the total.
Well, very well said. I don't really disagree. I haven't gotten to the win on side or total. I don't think anybody's really had much interest, or at least it's been not one-sided, because we've been sitting at 8.5, 9 with a total of 53, 54 for 10 days now. And it's not like 8.5, 9 is a key number. You would think it'd move off of it, but it hasn't. SMU impressed me as far as their response, because the moment did look too big for them at the start of the ACC championship game. I'm here to tell you, though, this one's even bigger. It's on the road. It's a whiteout in chilly conditions. I know it gets cold in Dallas, but it doesn't get 20 degrees cold like it does in State College. So I'm worried from that aspect on SMU. The Penn State side, you're right. James Franklin doesn't win big games, but to me, this isn't Ohio State or a Michigan in a top five battle. It's a game that he's more than a touchdown favorite. He takes care of the business. If I had to play aside, I'd actually probably lean more towards the Penn State side. I think a matchup that's ultimately going to determine the game and how close it is, or if it's a blowout, is SMU's rush attack. They have to be able to run the football in Penn State to get that balanced attack. If they can't, then Abdul Carter's going to tee off on the edge on that SMU offensive line that I'm not impressed with.
All right, Texas, Clemson, Texas laying 12, total 51.5. I think if Texas plays, if both teams play their A game, Texas is going to win and probably win comfortably. I can't lay 12 with yours. I don't have much of an appetite for Clemson. If anything, maybe Clemson team total under 19.5, because I do think it'll be hard for them to sustain offense. Have you bet anything in this game?
I bet Texas. That's probably the most comfortable side of the four playoff games for me. You're right. I mean, it's tough trusting Ewers right now. He's had 17 turnover-worthy plays this season, one of the most in college football. They haven't taken care of business in the red zone. They're number 92 in the country in scoring percentage. So it's concerning when you're trying to lay double digits in a game like this. They're not buttoned up there. With that being said, you're right, Clemson. What's the pathway to success for their offense? Phil Maffa's not 100%. Couldn't run on SMU. You're not running on this Texas defense. I'm not a big fan of Klubnik. I know he's played a little bit better this year, but he's not a difference maker as far as I'm concerned. I would like to see on Texas's side, let's see an Arch Manning package, because Clemson's, struggled with mobile quarterbacks. You look at the game against South Carolina a couple weeks ago. They gave up, he basically won the game for South Carolina. And then, hell, even in the ACC championship game, once Jennings started scrambling around late in the game, I mean, they couldn't stop it. So I'd like to see that from Texas, particularly if Quinn Ewers isn't razor sharp to start the game.
Tennessee, Ohio State. Man, I'm with everybody else. I gave my initial thoughts on this game. I had no idea everybody was going to be on Tennessee. Maybe I should have expected it, because people always kind of react to the last thing they saw, and the last thing we saw from Ohio State was as bad as it gets against Michigan. 7.5, 46.5. There's been support for the under, which I can understand. I just have a hard time. This Ohio State offensive line against the Tennessee defensive line. That being said, I do feel like I'm walking into a little bit of a trap here taking it with Tennessee. Do you have any opinion on this game?
Yeah, I'm contrarian. I don't think, if you're looking to bet Ohio State, wait, because I think a lot of people want to bet that, especially Tennessee with the hook there on a key number. But you're right. It's tough trusting Ohio State's banged up offensive line against Tennessee's strength, that being their defensive line. It's tough trusting Ryan Day in a big game at this point. If it doesn't go well early for Ohio State, I think Herb Street right there on the playoff selection show said it best: the crowd's going to turn on, the home crowd will turn on the Buckeyes and start booing immediately. What I do trust is the Ohio State defense on a down and down out basis. And you look at the splits, Tennessee non-conference, when they're playing the UTEPs and the Chattanoogas of the world compared to SEC play. I mean, they're scoring like 30 points per game less. And now they're facing the best defense they've seen all year. So Tennessee team total, anything 18.5 or higher, I'm going under.
Over under 0.5 upsets we get in these four games.
That's a good question. Yeah, I think there'll be one. I'll go over. Is there a
Okay.
prop on that? It's
Yeah,
got
but
to be juiced to the over, right?
the one I saw was 1.5, and it was way juiced towards the under. So it wasn't, I mean,
Yeah, I
yeah.
couldn't bet that.
No, I'm with you. Yeah, I mean, it just feels like, especially all year since we've talked about how much parity is in college football, it would be odd if we got, all four favorites win. I mean, that's the favorites are supposed to win, but I don't know. I would expect one of these dogs to punch through. Yeah. And it is weird how, conference title game, last time we had like a full weekend of action, all the lines were 2, 2.5, 3, and now we got them all touchdown or more.
Well, the power of home field, especially sure. at the places that they're played at. So, I mean, you're adding 3 points, maybe even more in some of those sure. lines.
The better teams are better and the better teams are home, which certainly adds to it. Anything Friday, we finally have some day bowl games, man. I like this 12-team playoff. It does feel like bowl season has been cannibalized a little bit where, man, the bowls just have no juice. The game Tuesday night, I didn't even know there was a bowl till a couple hours before. It was like a 9 o'clock, 9:10 start East Coast. It's just, man, there's not as many day games. They're just not as, I don't know, they're not as interesting, at least from a fan perspective, at least for me. But do you have anything in these Friday bowl games or any of these other bowl games going forward?
Well, yeah, quite a bit, but obviously it's all information based. You got to be in front of the computer when the news hits. A couple things to look out for in that Friday game leading up to the Indiana Notre Dame game. Florida Tulane. I think this Florida program's on the ascent. There's some money coming on Tulane, so I'm anxious to see how low this line goes. I'm interested in Florida. What I'm actually interested in is the over in the game, though. The people are betting Tulane because it's not that big of a downgrade to the backup. Okay, I hear you on that, but let's the total's been suppressed 3-4 points, and I haven't seen any correlation with the Tulane money coming in the last 24 hours. So let's go over the total Tulane Florida.
So Florida laying 12, total 49. You think the 49? There's still some meat in the bone with you over there?
Yeah, a little bit of meat there. So that'd be my preference. I mean, the other games, I'll be honest with you. There's a game that's moved a touchdown already, and I think it can move another touchdown. It's Syracuse, Washington State in the Holiday Bowl. I don't know if the game's going to get played. That's how bad a shape Washington State's in. Lost their head coach, OC, DC, quarterback, who's the number one player in the portal, John Mateer, and 20 other players, and more are probably going to jump in. So I would lay anything up to 20 on Syracuse. Wow. That's how big of a blowout it'll be.
Yeah, I was looking yesterday. I think we were talking about one of the other podcasts, and it was 12. I said, man, 12 is a lot for a bowl game. Now it's up to 14. So,
and it's going higher. I'm telling you, it's going to close much higher.
Do you think there's any tweaks going forward, either with the portal to make these bowl games more where we get less of this stuff? Anything with the college football playoff, maybe reseeding? If you were a college football czar, what were a couple changes you would make?
Well, I'd start the playoffs so easy to do. Just, I'm okay with the Big 12 champ getting in. I'm okay with one group of five team getting in, but just see the teams how they are. I mean, just it is what it is at that point. So, you can't have Boise State and Arizona State taking two of the top four seeds. That can't happen. And that should start immediately next year on that change. And that's simple. As far as I don't know what the answer is to the portal. I mean, the semester starts in January for every college. So, I mean, they want to get into spring ball. So I don't know what time. I mean, I guess you could push it back a couple of weeks, but then you're getting into next semester already. I don't know what to fix. It's a pretty broken sport, even though it's widely popular because of gambling, TV. It's great watch on the 75 inch, but especially in those atmospheres. But there's so many moving parts here. I don't know what the future holds 5-6 years from now. I guess what we're gonna get in a couple years, I don't think most people know this, we're gonna get a salary cap. There's gonna be contracts. Each school is gonna be able to have, on pen and paper, I think upwards of maybe 20 to 30 million. So whoever wants to conduct that, now most of the group of five won't be able to do that, but obviously a lot of the power five will. So we'll at least have that in a couple years.
Speaking of which, college football becoming big business, Belichick to UNC. How does it go? How long does it last? What does this look like in your opinion?
I'm pretty pessimistic, but I also want to see how he fills out his coaching staff. I want to see what he does with his roster for this year. ACC's more winnable than if he was trying to do it in the Big Ten and SEC. Right. Because I mean, let's face it. I mean, North Carolina, if they're willing to spend, that's a thing. You don't have to be a great recruiter. Just need to spend more money. I mean, you offer more money to the player, you're going to get that player. So if it comes down to scouting and getting the players that you want, then there's a path. But his early staff that he's hired, light on the college experience, which worries me.
You think if it was a big time job like Texas, Ohio State, Bama, he would have jumped at that too. And he just wanted to coach. He wanted to coach in college. Or does he like the fact that it's this little, podunk job? It's a little off the radar. It's a little bit of a fixer upper.
I don't think a big job would have taken him. I'm just being honest. So, I mean, it's, it, I think it can be a top 25 program. I mean, it's in a fertile recruiting area. I know that, you know, people, you know, obviously think North Carolina, you think basketball, but I mean, Mac Brown had that rock and roll when I was growing up in the 90s. I mean, they're in the top 10. So, and then, I mean, obviously he's had elite quarterback play. So it could be a top 25-ish type of job. So I think that's perfect for him.
Yeah, and I mean, regardless of how you think it's going to go, it's going to be must watch. Which, like, we weren't, you know, a couple weeks ago, months ago, we weren't thinking, hey, North Carolina, you're going to have to watch every game. I mean, they are going to be exciting to watch. Has he announced coordinators? Do you have any sense of who his coordinators are going to be?
Hasn't yet. I think his son will probably be the DC.
Sure, that makes sense.
He was, and his son got some experience this year, Washington, as a DC. The tea leaves were there. Belichick was at a lot of those practices, the spring and summer. So he's probably getting it. He's feeling it out at that point, I think, as far as what the college game was all about.
And the offensive coordinator, I think, will be big. And any guess, any sense of who will put it offensive
well,
coordinator?
I don't know. Hopefully not one of his cronies from the NFL. If I was him, and look, he's the GOAT. I mean, he's forgotten way more about football than I'll ever know. But I would like to see a college coordinator there because it's just different. I mean, I don't know. Unless he can go out there and get a pro quarterback, then he can run your pro style. But right now the recruiting is not good the last couple of years for North Carolina.
Are you rooting for it to work?
Indifferent.
Okay.
I'm happy as a fan because it gets more eyeballs on the college game. But right now I'm probably rooting it doesn't work because I bet under 7.5 wins for next year already.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah.
I think. Did it open 6.5 and then it got bumped to 7.5, which would make
yeah,
which I'm
six
not
and a half is
at all.
About where I would be at. 7.5 was a little too rich.
Yeah. What do you think their like ACC and futures numbers will look like, or is it just too early?
It's way too early. I mean, hell, not only them, but let's see, you know, who they're matched up with. Right. And here's the thing with college football. I mean, I am a guy that bets 100 win totals. I did not have a good year first time ever. I mean, I lost betting win totals. They hold up my money for 6, 7, 8, 9 months, and I lost money. That's ridiculous. And all it takes is like a Florida State to ruin a bunch of win totals. Okay, that's a loss. And then it turns into a win because a team that you expect to be 9-3, 10-2 goes 2-10. I mean, just a couple of high variance teams can really mess you up. So I probably won't bet as many totals.
Yeah, I mean, look at the BYUs, the Arizona States. There's just been
absolutely
a ton of these teams. All right, Brad, should be a fun weekend, man. I appreciate the time. Let everyone know where they can find you.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter and X, BradPower7, and on the website, BradPowerSports.com.
All right, appreciate the time, man. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, appreciate you guys listening. Before we go, I did ask Brad Powers. I kind of forgot when I was interviewing, but as soon as I got off the air, I asked him who he did like to win it all. He did say Texas. He said he's probably not worth a bet. In terms of the futures, just play it game by game and keep rolling it over. But he liked Texas's path, their talent, as far as his pick to be a champion. So enjoy the game. Should be a fun weekend. All the NFL, all the college, just an incredible weekend. The Saturday is just packed wall to wall with sports. So enjoy it. Rate, review, subscribe. Would appreciate you guys keeping those reviews coming. See you Monday.